Warning, do not approach this film if you are allergic to the color blue. If you are in any way blue sensitive, exposure to the ring could be fatal. Almost like it's a cursed video. You see, that's how it connects. The Ring was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with two people that know they work for this company, but don't know what they do. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Mail, mail, mail.
And Camila Adams.
Tickety-tack, tickety-tack, tickety-tack.
That was the secret of my success. 49 and two-thirds. That is not our most average. Does everyone remember our most average
don't
film?
Don't we have a dead center 50?
Yeah, we do. I don't
remember what it is.
No.
It is The Deep. With Robert Shaw.
Right.
And who's in the wet t-shirt? Is it
Nick Nolte's thighs are in it.
Jacqueline Bisset.
Nick Nolte's thighs.
That is our perfect 50. Yeah, Jacqueline Bisset, Robert Shaw, and Nick Nolte. Correct. Both of us remembered the body part we look at the most. You with
and wasn't
the thighs.
Lou Gossett in it?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, he was kind of the heavy, like the
and there was an eel after him.
I think he got eaten by an eel.
Yeah.
The Deep spoilers.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a completely mid movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so mid that I have no recollection of watching this movie. I'm looking at my notes from it, and I'm like, I got nothing.
Here's
Deep pandemic.
Here's what I love. The Secret of My Success, 49 and two-thirds. The Deep, 50. Top Gun, 50 and one-third.
Mm.
Those are our averages. And if you lined up those three... I don't hate The Secret of My Success, but I don't want to watch it.
Right.
The Deep, I'm kind of completely neutral to. Yeah. Like, if you put it in front of me, I'd stare at it.
Right.
And Top Gun, I'd be like, I don't really love it, but I'll watch it. Just that one-third variation feels right.
Yeah, it does. It all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Science.
The Secret of My Success is that we get way too into the numbers on this podcast. Anyway...
Well, it's the numbers of the one movie in America.
Yeah. It's spooky season. A happy spooky season.
Hooray.
How's your spooky season going so far?
So far, so good. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I think I may have watched... I started my, Conjuring, revisiting the Conjuring universe, and as well as Scream. So
okay,
I've been like seeping in there, and I did a new old one, too. So we'll learn about
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I really kicked it off with this, or I watched the original Ring before this.
Oh.
And because I'd never seen it and I was interested and I was curious about it.
How'd that work out for you?
I liked it. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, I think I liked it a little bit better than this one.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I'm just like, because Korean, it's Korean, right?
It's Japanese.
It's Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of them, they're horror. Just
yeah.
Like, woo.
That's yeah.
Like,
I mean,
peel your skin off kind of.
One thing about Ring. 1998 is that it
Ringu.
Is, I think it's just called Ring because that's what it says. Like, I think in America, also, they released it as Ringu, but like the word is Ring. They were like, well, how do we make this sound exotic?
Oh.
Throw it at you. I'm making
that
up.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah. I'm making that up. I just know that when you log in on Letterboxd, it's called Ring. Mm-hmm. And when you watch it, it shows the title card and the subtitle says Ring.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless, you've both seen that. Yes.
No, because I'm too chicken.
Oh, really? Okay.
I did it the time, and I remember thinking this is a little better, and this is definitely more scary.
So the thing about the original is that it is spooky, but all of the actual horror, like the deeply scary stuff, is lifted directly in the remake, which I had seen.
Mm.
So I was much... It was... easier for me to handle.
Gotcha.
And then the investigation period is much spookier in that one, but I was watching it on Tubi, so like ad breaks and like
kind of breaks it up.
It just, so it was not too terrifying for me, let's put it that way. But I do think it's just a slightly more gelled over film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You didn't watch all 8 of the
No.
Japanese film. Well,
I
we'll
did
get to
start
it.
Reading Wikipedia plot summaries, and then I was like, this is going to confuse me. I'm going to do that thing that I do where I'm like, wait, the movie that we're actually talking about, is that the one that this happened in? Right. So I stopped because I didn't know that Ring was released simultaneously with a purported sequel called Spiral.
Not from the Book of Saw.
Exactly. And then that was not a success. But Ring was, so then they made Ring 2, disregarding the events of Spiral.
Okay. Yeah, I know I saw that there's, it's a Halloween Michael Myers situation where there's four theoretical timelines of the Japanese Ring films, right, depending on which films you count.
Anyway, I enjoy both of these movies, but I'm not going to get that far into it. I'm sorry, yeah. I just can't.
Well, and I hinted at this. I forgot to listen back. I don't know how much I talked about it on a previous You Can't Handle the Truth, but I hinted at this last week. I didn't watch this now because I watched this a couple of months ago on a long flight. And, you know, maybe Max does not like plane viewing.
like, Max is Christopher Nolan over here.
It's like, yeah. How dare you?
You know,
he's just left.
I think movies suffer on planes. Like, I watch them, but I generally think that, like, because I'm uncomfortable and looking around and like messing with my snack and things, like, I usually like things less on planes. But on this viewing, I was like, I don't think this is that good, actually.
Oh,
like, I'm not going to give it a negative score, but probably because of the ways that all of the tricks of this movie were done to death and watered down in horror movies over the next 20 years. Yeah. Now I'm going back. It doesn't hold up for me.
Well, that's the thing. I saw the remake for the first time only a few years ago. Mm. And I remember just being like, I can't. It's too late. Yeah. You know, like, I enjoyed this for what it was, but it is... I've seen Scary Movie whichever Scary Movie sequel it is. Like, all of this has come to me through pop culture osmosis in a way that just makes it not as scary or transporting.
I still find it creepy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there are definite moments that I had to close my eyes. And like, there was at one point, it was just me and Max downstairs watching it, and like, he's all chill and everything, and out of nowhere the fucker just jumps up and starts barking and scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
It's like, not the time, bro. But I did see this way back when. Maybe I saw it in the theater, but I do remember having like a visceral reaction to the end.
Yeah.
That's the thing. When it came out, I saw it in the afternoon after high school. Like, I left school and we went to the theater and watched The Ring, me and my friend Christina Conover. And I remember we were both losing our shit at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those sense memories. I remember grabbing her hand and she had like gloves on, like those knit gloves. And I can feel the texture of those gloves when I see Samara crawl out of the television.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's so cool.
At the time, I'm like, this is so scary. And now I'm like,
yeah, like, no,
it still makes my heart
found the end like, oh my god.
Yeah,
but it's also
when she clips forward, that's pretty scary.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's creepy, but as a movie, I did not enjoy it.
That's
so
it.
To me, the fatal flaw of The Ring 2002 is the X. He is call a plumber, we've got a drip. I can't stand that guy. And in the original, he's played by Hiroyuki Sanada, who's like insanely hot.
Oh.
And I turned to Colin at some point, and I'm like, is this character annoying? Because I can't tell, because he's too hot. Because his the ex is so annoying.
Oh, he's terrible. And then like the back and forth between him and the little conversation with him and his son.
Right. And also, like, is he a part of that son's life? Like, they stopped each other on the street and didn't say anything.
Right. Like, it's okay. So who's recapping?
It's mine.
I was about to add seven more points. Let's do the segments.
And also, unfortunately, I kind of gloss over the ex and the son in the recap. So we'll have to get into it afterwards, but let's get this out of the way.
Right on.
And also, this is unpracticed, so buckle up. All right.
Go.
Two teens discuss an urban legend. You watch a scary videotape, you get a phone call that says 7 days, and then a week later you die. One teen admits that she watched the video, and she promptly dies. Her aunt, Naomi Watts, is a nosy reporter who starts investigating the tape, including watching it herself, which triggers her own death clock. During those 7 days, her ex and her son both watch the tape, and her investigation reveals that it depicts the murder of a girl named Samara. But to paraphrase the famous tweet, why do we bash murderous parents but never question if the child had bad vibes or if they're just unpleasant to be around? Nevertheless, Naomi finds the girl's remains at the bottom of the well and thinks she broke the curse, but her son says, you just made her more powerful. Naomi's ex gets killed, but Naomi survives, so she realized she must have done something different. She made a copy, so she holds her son's hand and forces him to do the same. Fortunately, this all takes place in the last week before VCRs go away forever, so everything's fine.
It wasn't that good, yeah.
It's not just that. It's the VCRs going away forever. It's the lack of information spreading about the kids dying. The fact that we got to the funeral before anyone said, hey, did you know her boyfriend died too?
Right. What? Right?
Right.
No one heard?
How are we still in a microfiche era for this thing?
And the other two also. Mm-hmm. Yes. Other two friends. Like, right. Oh, nobody. We're just going to gloss right over that.
And like, I think all the time when Colin and I watched Nightmare on Elm Street a few years ago, he was like, I love how this depicts how a town would actually react to several children dying.
Right.
Yeah.
And that him pointing that out has broken my brain for every other horror movie where children, a group of children die and no one says anything. Not weapons, obviously. But like, for the most part, people are like, la, 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 la.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, why would people not lose their minds that all these teenagers died suddenly on the same day?
True story. Not even just same day, same time.
Yes.
Different places.
My problem is less the ex, drip though he is, and how did he start dating someone hotter? If that guy is definitely peaking at Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
Like she's well out of his league.
Anyway, my problem is the plot structure here, which is still the plot structure in the Japanese one as far as I remember, but I don't know, because of that quality of Japanese and to a lesser extent Korean horror, that the atmosphere works so well you kind of miss it when you take that out of Japan and try to, like, there's an uncomfortable like collision with teen, you know, post scream horror here. I'm making 7 points at once.
Okay,
so they lose the atmosphere because they're trying to drop in scream stuff, teenagers and phone calls and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So the atmosphere is killed. So you're left with the plot, which is forever location change, creepy moment, exposition, location change, creepy moment, exposition, location change, creepy moment, exposition. That was the one that solved it. No, it didn't. Okay, we're done. Like that's, there's nothing develops here. I must quote my friend Kimberly Rooney. They're an excellent writer. They also recently launched their own podcast called Conflict Kino, where they review movies from countries the U.S. is in conflict with.
Oh, interesting.
And I have pointed out, like, so all of the countries, including America itself.
Right, right.
But their Letterboxd review of The Ring is, I like when a narrative twist occurs and recontextualizes previous information in a thoughtful, clever way. Shame that didn't happen here. 2 stars. Like, everything that is revealed is just like a new thing that negates the previous thing.
Yes, and that I'm still not clear on why.
Yeah.
Like, why any of this happened. And I know it hinted to at the end of it that the girl just sucks. But just sucks.
My understanding is that she is like a lightning rod for evil.
Yeah.
And so, like, and in the original, it's very much like she has such bad psychic vibes that everybody around her goes nuts.
Okay.
Right? So, like, and this one, it is, she makes the horses go crazy. There's no horses in the first one. The very first scene of this movie I ever saw, I was in somebody's dorm room and they were watching the horse on the ferry scene. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm leaving. Call me when this is over. So, like, I find that very scary. But, like, when you look at it from a slight distance, it's like, wait, they really tethered a lot of this movie to spooky horses.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't know if you know that Kristen Stewart is afraid of horses.
No. Mm.
And I wonder if it's because she saw this movie too young. If I ever get the chance to interview Kristen Stewart, that's my first question.
She beat DeVay Chase for the role in Panic Room.
Fascinating.
There's your tie.
She's so good in Panic Room.
She beat who?
The girl who plays Samara.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Samara. Sorry. I say Samara like Mario instead of Mario.
Mm. I part of it, I'll get to the facts in a minute. I'm only making this connection today. Samara is a specific type of Japanese ghost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I think it's pronounced Onryo.
Yeah.
O-N-R-Y-O.
Yeah.
And that's like a Bigfoot or a Wolfman or would be to us.
Okay. Oh.
Right? Not literally, like I'm saying there's a
legend.
There's a legend that the audience in Japan would be familiar with from seeing her going, oh, that's an Anryo.
Gotcha.
And I wonder if the missing element of the plot is like when we watch a werewolf movie and we see the full moon and fur and fang, like we know what's happening.
Gotcha.
And so like this presence of this thing that the people around it aren't buying into yet all the way makes more sense if you know what kind of ghost this is.
That would make it a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you like hit the nail on the head there as to why it doesn't necessarily just like really hit all of the points as standalone. Yes, it worked in 2002 as a horror movie,
mm-hmm.
but still, like, there are missing bits and pieces as a movie.
So, do you think that context would make the twist more meaningful? I personally find the twist very effective.
The twist,
I don't think it's clear.
The twist being that they didn't break the curse.
I don't think. Yes, I think the twist that they didn't break the curse.
Yeah.
Would have been more impactful if we had a little, if there had been more on that this was an evil spirit or this child was
right.
evil to be in, to begin with. Cause like the whole thing with her, like I think what was missed, all it could have been was just like the scene where when she's in the well, Naomi Watts, and she sees like the mom push her mm-hmm. into the well. If we had come back to that and seen like something that had happened right before that, to make her push her
right.
into the well, I think that would have just been like...
But there wasn't, right? It was...
But there had to have been something.
It was that she killed the horses, but it was like a premeditated murder. Like, they murdered their kid in cold blood.
That's what I'm saying. There's too much question. Like, nothing was tied in properly
right.
or well enough to just be like, oh, so for the audience to walk away and be like, okay, so yes, boom, that kid was evil.
Right. Also, like in the original, it felt very clear to me that the people were being driven mad by mm-hmm. proximity to Samara, or her name is something else in that movie. But like in this one, it seems like, oh, or maybe Brian Cox and that lady just bad people who murder their adopted children.
Yeah, and that was the whole,
because like, he was a bad person.
Well, he was like, was he? Was he driven mad?
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I feel like they did not sell that Samara drove her parents mad.
Right.
And I think that it was just like, she's awful, and they didn't want anything to do with her, and so they threw her down a well.
Right. That's
which
what
is awful.
Right. That's yes. what, so we don't really know, like, what, like, chicken or egg here.
Right.
Like, it's kind of, and then, like, when he says, like, she was never supposed to have a child.
Oh, my God.
What?
That is, that's bullshit. It's, I mean, I don't know. I think I'm projecting my own issues here.
We're going to hate this movie by the time we finish recording.
But it's like, you know, we know that she had the miscarriages and they went ahead
right.
and, you know, came back with Samara. And then when he says it to Naomi and then she flashes back to it.
Yeah.
It's her, him, them flashing back to him saying that again. There should have been a reason for it. So like, there's gotta be a deeper meaning other than he's just, you know, he's an idiot man who thinks that just because she couldn't bear a child, meaning that she wasn't supposed to have a child.
Yeah. That's how I interpreted it. I interpreted it fully as this guy's an asshole and like, don't feel bad. No, actually I've heard it as do feel bad, woman without a child. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like it grossed me out. The other thing, while we're talking about the kids, I don't really like how they depict her son as just like, give the kid under eye circles and a flat affect and he's now scary. I'm like, what?
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about when establishing things that were horrible for the genre for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Creepy kids for no reason. Samara's creepy.
She's very creepy. She's for real creepy.
But they're like, not enough. Let's make another kid who's equally creepy just because he's joyless.
Yeah.
And then there's 50 bad horror movies with pale children
also,
over the next 20 years.
Maybe he's joyless because he has a deadbeat dad.
And a deadbeat, kind of to an extent, deadbeat mom.
Yeah, like, she does not seem super interested in it.
No, like, why is he calling you Rachel? Why is he calling you by your first name?
Because
like,
he's a weird kid. That's the other thing is I'm like, I assume that this kid is autistic and is just different. And they're like, look how different this child is. Fear him. And well, I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Well,
not in RFK Jr.'s America.
I thought that they were trying to insinuate that there is something metaphysical about. There's something he has some sort of psychic line because of him drawing the pictures.
And he talks to his dead cousin.
And the teacher was like, he drew these pictures a week ago.
Right.
And before his cousin died. So again, just poor writing or execution. They lay all this shit out there and then they never gather it in a basket for, you know, and they don't like give us enough. They don't give us enough to clearly walk away and be like, yes, I know what the reason was. Because to me, it's like there's three reasons for a possession of any sorts. There's either revenge, there's a spiteful spirit, or there's an unrest. I'm not clear on why.
So I like the thing that I was saying that works for me is the interpretation, the like assumption, this is unrest and we've laid her to rest and we're all good.
Right.
Right. And then it's like, no. What she wants is everyone to know her business. So you have to make a copy.
And who made the tape?
You know about the cut opening and ending scene that makes everything way more unpleasant?
Wait, what? No.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
This movie was released October the 18th, 2002. We're still on this.
I know.
It was the 28th number one movie of that year. It won that weekend with $15 million. The only other release was the completely non-existent Katie Holmes thriller Abandon in 7th with $5 million.
I was going to say, I bet I know, and then nope. I don't. Do you remember it?
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Slightly. I think I saw it. Yeah.
I mean, it was out. Yeah. It climbed the next weekend. This was a word of mouth, kind of a sleeper hit. It made more money the next weekend. It still came in 2nd because the giant cultural moment of Jackass the movie being released was the following weekend. So it was number 2 that weekend. It was number 2 the 3rd weekend behind the Santa Claus 2. And boy, does it not feel like The Ring and Santa Claus 2 should be in theaters at the same time.
No.
That
See, this
weird...
is the problem. And this is over 20 years ago, yeah. Right? But this is the problem with spooky season starting in July now.
Yeah.
It's like, the sprawl of the holiday, end of year holidays is absurd.
Oh, I just meant, I feel like Santa Claus 2 should have been out in 1993. And I feel like The Ring is from 2009.
You were talking less about the October of it all and more about the year.
Right.
2002.
Right. Although that's true. I have no idea why they drop Christmas movies
in October.
And that's a frequent thing.
No,
like
it is.
October, early November. Anyway, still stayed strong, had a good run.
Sorry.
No problem.
That's
me. Who, what? What?
That was mine.
It was a notification.
Yeah. It sounded so heavenly. So the rapture? I thought it was last week.
Do you ever think about, somebody had to compose that?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. I think I heard a podcast of the guy that composed the old Windows startup sound. Mm. The doom, ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding. Spent 8 weeks in the top 10, $129.1 million, 18th overall for 2002. I keep dropping in this made more than, because when I look, it's always shocking. This made more than 8 Mile, The Bourne Identity, Panic Room, Sum of All Fears, and the movie it took number one from, another previous episode subject, Red Dragon. I'm shocked that this made more than The Bourne Identity.
Me too.
Well, it's horror fans.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I saw The Bourne Identity on VHS the first time. It's possible that those were, that the original was a sleeper hit.
I have yet to see it.
It's, you know.
You hate Matt Damon.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. It's, there's nothing there for you.
I try, every time I try.
Yeah, you don't, listen, there's so many movies.
It's... Not I drop it. I did too much theme park corner last week. The only thing in the first Universal park that I haven't seen is the Bourne Identity stunt show. And we ended up with a few free hours. It's like, oh, I'll finally see. I've heard it's good. And so I'll finally see the stunt show. And then we walk up to it and it's like, oh, it's not for another half hour. Let's ride the E.T. ride and meet Beetlejuice. Like, it's
yeah.
Right.
Does anyone really care about Bourne content?
No, it's just. Yeah, I feel like it missed the mark. If it had come out in the early 90s, late 80s, and just been like on TV, I would have seen them all.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the franchise.
Oh, Billy Zane as Jason Bourne.
Mm.
Just putting that out there.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
The franchise we already were addressing, this starts with Ring in Japan, 1998. They have had 7 sequels. There are 8 movies in that series. Most of them are successful. The most recent, Sadako, that's her name, Sadako.
There we go.
In 2019, that bombed, and there hasn't been anything since. So this is probably dormant for now. The Ring came out in the U.S., as we said, 2002. The Ring 2 in 2005, that did not do quite as well, so they didn't press on. There would not be another American film until Rings in 2017. Anybody?
No memory of that.
No, I have no idea.
I had to read my own review. It was I saw it. It was not good.
I did kind of, sort of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. And I did not watch
Johnny Galecki's in it. Vincent D'Onofrio's in a small part. It's like,
like really small, or like, you know, like I could probably just find his part on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, so, because in the 2017 film, are people still rocking with VHS tapes?
Yeah.
They have to establish, like, I'm a vintage media enthusiast.
Okay. I mean, I know people, I literally know two people at least with VHS collections. So, like,
I have a little one.
There you go.
I got one back in that closet.
I still have E.T.
I've
with the green thing.
I think I went down to zero, and then like you'll see them at like, you know, nerd stores, and I've picked up a few. That,
okay. Do you have a VCR?
No. Okay. That's the next step.
Yeah, I know. And they're like ridiculously priced right now. I still have like a lot of the ones that the stuff that I recorded off of TV.
Oh yeah. Like God, I wish I still had that.
It's like, you know, it's like a little scrapbook.
I know, with retromercials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
I very deliberately bought a Star Wars original trilogy set because it was the last release that he hadn't fucked with.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So it's the actual original cut. Is it the most recent release of the actual cut of Star Wars is on VHS.
Nice.
Yeah, Rings in 2017 completely bombed. It only made $27.7 million domestic. If you're a total completist, there is one official South Korean film as well. Let's talk about screenwriter Aaron Kruger because this guy got to be bad for 20 years before he figured it out, and then completely figured it out.
With what?
So the good stuff early on is The Ring and Scream 3.
Mm-hmm.
And Scream 3 is not a good script.
No.
And The Ring is not a good script. But those successes, he kept going. But the other early stuff is like Reindeer Games, The Skeleton Key, Brothers Grimm. After all of that, he wrote the three worst Transformers, the two that we did, and then another one.
What an odd career.
Yeah.
He did the troubling American Ghost in the Shell remake. He did.
Oh, my God. I forgot that existed.
He did Tim Burton's Dumbo. So that 20 years, all of that, Reindeer Games, Transformers, Dumbo. Then what does he write? Top Gun Maverick, and gets nominated for an Oscar.
Listen.
Wow.
Top Gun Maverick is a sequel to the previously discussed very mid Top Gun.
Yeah.
Something was in the water. I think God himself was like, or herself, God herself Thank was you. Like, we need to save cinema.
He did that. And then he did F1, which is pretty good.
Huh. Mm.
COVID gave this guy caught COVID, and it's the rare kind that made you a good screenwriter.
Right. Damn it. Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
Even I get that kind of.
Yeah, way to hang around. What else? Gwyneth Paltrow, Jennifer Connelly, and Kate Beckinsale all offered the lead past. None of them would have been right. Jennifer Connelly would have been close.
Jennifer Connelly was close in Dark Water.
Did the same thing a few years later in a
I think I probably would have enjoyed Jennifer Connelly more. Nothing against Naomi, but.
Here's the thing. Naomi Watts is a genius. Like, she is a brilliant actor who can phone shit in.
Yeah.
And she seems asleep in about half of this movie. Like, I love her. I respect her. But I don't think she respects this.
Oh, no. And, you know, right, whatever. That's fair.
She got this check. She got that King Kong check. She's good.
Right.
She's actually pretty good in King Kong.
Because David Lynch told her it was important.
Oh my God! Oh,
she,
I love that so much.
She wasn't sure whether or not she should take it because she was like, "Is this gonna?" And he said, "Naomi, any actress that sits in King Kong's hand is a star." And she took the movie.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. What else were you?
That was a really good David Lynch. That was fun.
I've had plenty of opportunity to work on it. The cut scenes. There are two cut scenes from the beginning and end of the movie that no one has seen. We're in test screenings. We're never on the DVD. Starring Chris Cooper as a probable child murderer, maybe child molester.
Oh, dear.
So, like, it establishes the presence of this guy at the beginning of the movie, and it's not clear why, and at the end, like, I think he's in jail, and I think Naomi Watts is, like, reporting on him in some way. Uh-huh. And so then the last scene of the movie is her showing him the tape. So that you go, like, okay, she passed it on to a worthy victim.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
I kind of like that.
I love that.
Because in the original, she just gives it to one of the PTA moms.
There you go, Janice. Mm-hmm. Have fun.
I mean, Chris Cooper said, like, it was too jarring to have, at that time, the biggest star in the movie show up at the beginning and never be seen again until the last scene. Like, people were like, when are we getting back to that?
Yeah, I guess.
And it added some, you know, certainly some darkness.
It's very dark.
I mean, it's more darkness than fucking four teenagers being scared to death.
Yeah, but the movie starts with the promise that this might be fun, because they're playing the phone pranks and she does the fake dead and like, it has that more Scream vibe in the first couple of scenes, and Naomi Watts is smoking a cigarette with the teens. You know,
it's, hello, fellow kids.
Yeah,
that's another thing. I'm not completely, like, the tone of it, that I get why they did it this way, but I feel like Amber Tamblyn, what we were seeing and then what we were given later, like what Naomi has found out about, she was really, like, just chill about all this.
I completely agree. I remember thinking when I first, because Amber Tamblyn was on a TV show that I loved called Joan of Arcadia. Oh, yeah. And I remember thinking, oh, Amber Tamblyn didn't learn how to act yet. Because she just seems, like, so uninterested in her imminent death.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Maybe that's just what kids are like.
That original cut that had those scenes was 130 minutes long and solidly R-rated. Mm. So maybe that was it, too. They were like, we need to cut this way down.
This isn't R-rated?
No, it's PG-13.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the original DVD had a secret command that you could hit almost unintentionally that would make the cursed video play in full.
No.
And
no.
You couldn't pause, fast forward, or cut to menu from it.
Can you burn the DVD player?
And then when it ended, it would go back to the menu, but it would be broken and it would play a phone ring sound.
I hate it.
That's just weird.
I hate it.
Can't like it.
Kind of like that. And the VHS tape, again, because we're in that era, if you actually fully rewound, it got to the cursed video.
My spine right now is just...
So you buy the tape and you watch it and then you hit rewind and it rewinds back to the beginning. And the next time you put the same tape in, it cuts straight to the thing without explanation.
I'm going to cry. I hate it.
Isn't that great?
I fucking hate it.
No. I'm going to go with no.
No, thank you.
DeVay Chase, the mystery continues. What a career, but only for a few years as a child. She started acting in 1999. In 2001, she was Donnie Darko's little sister, and she was the voice in Spirited Away, in the English dub, that won the Oscar. You know, that's often we're like, oh, they did the dubbed voice. With Studio Ghibli movies, particularly at that time, that's what everybody saw.
Right.
The following year, she's in The Ring, and she's Lilo in Lilo and Stitch. Then she does a couple other things. She does some TV. She does a lot of TV guest appearances still around that age. She was recurring. She had a main role on Big Love.
Oh.
Was she like one of their kids?
I think so.
Yes. And since then...
I really liked that show.
Me too.
Question mark?
She's 35.
She has not worked since about 2016.
Listen, what's her name? DeVay?
DeVay Chase.
DeVay, if you are out there living off Ring residuals.
I know, right?
I don't know. Stay if blessed. You can. Like, right. of those big, like maybe Lilo and Stitch would make enough. But
I mean,
like,
she probably, does she run the, what are they called? Con circuit?
No.
Doesn't look like it.
There was some controversy where someone booked her for a con and it was a big deal because she doesn't really do them. Okay. And then she wasn't there and they couldn't tell if she had flaked or if the company, the booking agent turned out to be shady. Like, you'll find articles that are like, she's had legal troubles, but it's nothing. It's like possession and like driving a car that was registered to somebody.
Normal,
you know,
like use right. stuff.
So it's like, but she has, like, at one point, you know, when she was like in her 20s, she was trying to like be an online presence, and all of her socials are just not updated in years and years.
Dead in the water.
I hope this is good news. I hope she's just out there living her best life.
Yeah, maybe she, you know, just perusing her Instagram. Maybe she's in a band. I feel
that'll
like
maybe.
Maybe she's a musician.
But I feel like when that turns out well, we know. You know, like Mara Wilson isn't acting anymore, and we know all about her stuff.
Because she chooses for us to.
Right.
But you can't, but.
And because she's good on Twitter or whatever platform, right? Like if DeVeChase doesn't have good tweets, then that's not an option for her.
You should be able to Google what is DeVeChase up to and get an answer. Sure. And the fact that you can't, like it maybe should at least say.
Maybe DeVeChase was her stage name.
Yeah, maybe.
And so like she's like not. That's she's just using whatever her real name is or going by
real
a different name now.
Dana Rabinowitz.
DeVay Elizabeth Chase, nay, Chase Schwalier. Oh, it's my name at the end. It's just different up front. Schwalier.
Huh.
I think mine's better.
I like yours better, too. Yeah. No offense to all the Schwaliers out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, she's...
It just sounds like a name that we'd make up to make fun of Sean.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you're being schmarmy today. Mm-hmm. Okay, Schwalier.
Yeah. She's great. She's super creepy. She's good in Donnie Darko. Like, hey... Hell of a 2-year run, but
I have a random thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to live with my friend Abby.
Yeah.
At the time, I was really trying to let my hair dry curly naturally. It doesn't do that anymore, but at the time I could do it, but I could only do it if I let it dry hanging in front of my face. And so I would just be sitting on the couch in our apartment reading casebooks with my hair right in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
And Abby hated it so much because of this movie.
I'll bet.
She would walk in and she'd be like, get your hair out of your face!
This just in, as of late 2025, DeVeChase has largely retired from acting and remains out of the public eye. Her last credited roles were in 2016 and her public presence has been limited due to legal troubles and a resurfaced video involving Sean Diddy Combs.
No.
Art is.
Oh.
Yikes.
So
that's it. I'm taking Victory off of my Spotify playlist. It was the last one. Yep. It's mostly Biggie in there anyway. It came on and I was like, do I take it off? No, I'm done. I'm done. I really love the scene where Doofus X tries to claim that he's the girl's father.
I don't remember what you're talking about.
When he's investigating in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, exercise and diet.
He says exercise and diet, and I'm like, why did you think for us? You look 29.
Because he's an idiot.
What was this? I do love that the security guard like led him down that garden path long enough to trap him before. But like, what an idiot! That's been in my head since I saw the movie. Just thinking like, what is wrong with this guy? And why would anyone help these people? Why you just show up to this traumatized little island and be like, I have questions and am repeatedly breaking and entering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me your secrets. No.
It's like, who are you? How dare you?
I did appreciate the great Jane Alexander being like, get away from us.
I'm confused about the way Samara's mom was dressed.
Like old timey-ish?
Yeah. Yes. Like, why?
I believe this is part of her being barren.
Okay.
She's the first trad wife.
Yep.
The original trad wife. Yeah, it's... I might not give it a good score. I may be back
now. You guys are really talking me down. Like, I do want to say, like, the vibes, while very blue, I actually read it more as green.
Blue-green.
Okay.
Yeah.
The vibes are there, is the thing.
The photography is great.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is good. I hate the horse sequence.
You hate it?
Oh, I hate it so much because, like, we talked about this when I watched it a couple of months ago. She provokes the horse and continues provoking the horse.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We did not need to watch the young girl watch her best friend in the entire world fall to its traumatic death.
It's horrible.
It's darker than the teens dying. That's worst moment in the movie.
It really is.
It's so harrowing. And for me,
blood.
It's too much.
So bad. God.
I mean, like, we didn't need that. Because, like, the horse going over into the water, that was enough for us to, well, what else are we going to do? Like, that horse is gone. Like,
yeah.
But why didn't we need the blood? It works.
It works.
If you, as a movie, if you just want creepy vibes,
yeah,
that's it. Like you are it's one of many that you're going through for spooky season, right? That night.
But here's the thing: like, if you're listening to this and you've never seen The Ring, it's too late. I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen The Ring since 2002. Maybe revisit it, but there's probably a lot of better stuff on your spooky schedule that you could get to first.
Right.
And you've seen it recently and I haven't. I like including Ring, which right. seems to be very accessible.
It's on Tubi.
And wow. do that instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I came in at a 60 and I'm down to a 55.
I also came in at a 60.
Mm-hmm.
I came in at 70, but... Are we ready to rate?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I'm just all of your points are really valid, but you're only talking me down to a 58.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to go 58 also. Yep.
That's 57 overall. It's
yeah.
Hey, if we were doing this the day after it came out,
it'd probably
have an 80.
Right.
You know, but some things don't hold up well, and that's okay.
It's fine.
Hopefully something that scared us as much as The Ring scared us in 2002 is coming down the pike.
Yeah. I hope so.
Sinners, Weapons. We've had good ones. I don't know about scared, but they were good.
Yeah, I was going to say those were good movies.
They didn't scare me.
To the bingo card.
Ooh, bingo card.
Are you telling me there wasn't a gravestone in this movie? Was there no gravestone?
No graves.
I don't remember a well.
Okay. Or I do remember. Human with non-human eyes. She has human eyes, but they're all like weird. No. Okay.
No. I mean like glowing or something.
Okay.
Like that or...
Oh, clues in old newspaper.
Yep.
There absolutely. You go.
Did Naomi Watts break through a window to get into the old house?
I don't think so.
I don't.
Yeah. Tell me nothing moved on its own. TV started playing.
No, but nothing moved on its own.
Yeah. All right. Clues
in
old newspaper. Looking at this this particular spooky season bingo card, I bet we'll get some next week.
Yeah, that is that's the goal.
Yeah.
Good bingo card.
Thanks. And I should note that I know what I am picking. It is not spooky, so... We will wait.
Okay.
Okay.
Not this time. Not next time. The time after that.
Is
I'm picking
the
a movie. Maybe. Well, now.
Is it the natural?
It literally is the natural.
Robert Redford died.
Yeah.
Okay.
I truly had no idea. All I knew was I wanted to watch something that I hadn't seen and wanted to watch. And I've put The Natural on the
movie draft list
a couple of times, and. Wasn't thinking that, and then Robert Redford died, and I thought, oh, I should watch The Natural. I should make other people watch The Natural, too.
I will enjoy revisiting The Natural when mm-hmm. spooky season is over.
So that is 3 episodes from now. Good guess. You get the number one song in America for free today. I don't know what that means. We did not address the trailer. Which is great.
I just watched the trailer in my car before coming in and genuinely got the chills.
Yeah.
Like sitting in my car in like broad daylight and I was about a movie I had just watched
and not
thought was that good and I'm getting the chills.
What's funny is I consistently get this confused with The Grudge in my mind.
Very reasonable. Now,
my question was going to be, this predates the American remake of The Grudge, right? Like, this started
the trend.
Okay.
Okay.
But I wish that studios would be willing to make memorable trailers again.
Yeah. Yeah.
During this era specifically, occasionally they would drop a trailer that was its own little work of art,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be you have to see this trailer. That never happens anymore.
Right.
I know. It's sad.
Yeah. Oh, and the letterboxed was, The Monstrous Feminine, a list of feminist horror essentials. And I went... Really?
I mean, listen, feminist, if you want to go horror? Deep on this read that I'm going through with, like, this is about infertility and mothering and blah blah. And
no, I was thinking that too when I was watching. I was like, is this just like commentary on motherhood?
I think that is where you get
quote unquote lack of,
right?
Or you know,
it's right, like,
because like, why is fucking Rachel so such a complicated mom?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of good things to explore on that list. I don't know if this belongs here.
No, I don't think this really does.
It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Am I the only one who's seen Him?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers. Just should I go?
You should go because it is really impressive visually. It is style over substance. Mm-hmm. It is, like a lot of modern horror films, really great at, what is this weird scenario? What's going on? Where are we? What's happening? What does this mean? What? And then doesn't really have an easy, satisfying answer for that. Mm-hmm. Just kind of goes, well, no spoilers. Okay. But
how's Marlon Wayans?
I think the best he's ever been.
Great. Because I really liked him in Requiem for a Dream, and I haven't seen it.
It's been a while since he's done a series.
Yeah.
And in this, he has to, like, be Pennywise. He has to be Freddy Krueger. He has to be like funny, charming, sinister behind the eyes at all times, like just switching back and forth between these poles, and he's so good.
Nice.
This people don't like this movie, so there's no chance.
I have only seen bad reviews.
Mine was, you know, mine was 6 out of 10 because
that's by far, like, Robert Daniels gave it half as a star out of 4.
Come on. Mary Beth went as far as 7. Because it's so strong visually, and there is, it doesn't really make its point coherently, but I'm very happy that someone is saying, like, football is a violent cult. Like, that's a good thing for a mainstream movie to be pointing out.
Maybe that's why everybody hates it.
It's worth it for Marla. If this were a well-received movie, I'd be like, he should be nominated, because it's that good.
Wow.
The movie, eh. The movie, it is, however, significantly better than the movie I saw the same day, Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. Just bad.
I thought it was fine. It's barely a movie.
Is it a is a Super Bowl commercial? It is,
yes, literally, like, when I read that Happy Gilmore 2 feature-length Super Bowl commercial review on Letterboxd, I was like, oh, nailed it. Great. And then I was, like, watching Spinal Tap, The End Continues. Oh, no, that Letterboxd review has ruined me for a lot of content. Because this is a content movie rather than a movie.
Gotcha.
I laughed. What can I say?
You gave it 5 and I gave it 4. So we're not that far apart.
The little cheese board in the back of his guitar.
That was good. There are a few prepared bits like that work. I definitely laughed when they're left alone.
Yeah.
When the three of them can just talk.
Yeah.
You know, then we were getting laughs. Way too much Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner is in so many. The first joke in this movie is him doing a dumb pratfall. And he is in so many more. He is in such a larger percentage of this movie than he's in Spinal Tap.
Oh, I didn't remember it that way, but that's interesting.
He's all over. And not a lot happens.
I also, the main Super Bowl-y thing about it that I felt, I was like, come on, was they spent a lot of time with Paul McCartney and a lot of time with Elton John. And I was like, I'm not interested in this.
Paul McCartney was really funny.
Paul McCartney was funny, but like, yeah. I was just sort of like, these are not the famous people I'm here to gawk at.
So much of this movie is just them rehearsing normally.
Yeah.
Like without bits.
I thought there were bits.
A lot of it is just, they're going to play this song for a while.
Yeah.
There's not enough warrant making a sequel to one of the best comedies of all time.
It's 80 minutes long is the other thing. Yeah. So like, it's barely a movie. Yeah. Complimentary.
I liked the drummer character.
She's hot.
She's hot and was funny and was the only like addition. It was the only forwarding of the plot.
Yeah.
You know, someone has to reckon with the cursed history of drummers to join the band.
Yeah.
I kind of wouldn't bother. Like, if you're in a hotel room and it's on HBO, like, that's the level of go ahead and watch
on a flight.
On the flip side, I'm like, what a great movie for you to watch when you only have 80 minutes to watch a movie. Aren't you so glad that this is there for when you can only kind of pay attention to something?
Yeah.
This is a great movie for that situation. Like an airplane.
I wondered, I mean, this wasn't marketed heavily because it's not very good and it was only put out by Bleecker Street, who has no money to market anything. I wondered if some of the push wasn't muted by Ozzy Osbourne's death.
Oh, interesting.
There's a thing in there. There's a scene where the like smarmy guy who's trying to get them to come back is like, it would be really good if one of you died right after the concert. That would be great for our, and I'm like, ooh.
Yikes.
Ew.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
Old British rockers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I can see that. Yeah, I wouldn't bother. Also, I finally watched Tron, the original Tron.
What'd you think?
The original Tron.
Yeah. It's not great, but it's sure is something to look at.
It was fine in 1986.
I think it's even earlier
than that. Yeah.
I can't believe that the stuff I'm looking at was made in 1982. Right. I think The Last Starfighter is better. I realize that that is just a ripoff of Tron, but I think they did it better. I'm trying to get... There's only two of them, and I'm still like, do I have time to get these before the new one comes out? I'm not sure.
I thought there was just Tron and Tron...
Yeah, the original and this, and then there's one out in 2 weeks.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you were saying you didn't have time to watch two more, and I'm like, two more?
Am I going to commit to what is probably a 138-minute movie, yeah. I'm guessing, in Tron Supernova? What the hell's the name
Ares?
Of it? No, that's the new one. Oh. What's the last one? Legacy? Star Child? What? Anyway.
I keep wanting to say Tron Generations. That's
Legacy.
Not right.
It's okay. Legacy.
There we go. I was sort of onto the right track.
Was my guess right? 126 minutes. That's slightly shorter than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's literally all I've watched because I've been busy and I'm still playing Red Dead. I'm a cowboy. I just go home and I'm a cowboy.
I'm a cowboy.
Camila?
Did I talk about weapons last time?
No. Last time, I think the day we recorded, you texted us, should I buy weapons?
Yes. I enjoyed it. It's not exactly what I was thinking that it would be.
Overhype problem?
Yeah.
This is why I haven't shown Mary Beth Sinners yet. I'm like, you've been hearing about it so long.
Yeah.
Sinners can.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from it. It was definitely an interesting story. I think I feel a little bit let down about what the end was. Mm. I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. It was a right. But, you know, it's like, I guess it's worth the ride. The old movie that was new to me, shit, 20 years ago, Jeepers Creepers.
I've never seen that.
I thought I had. I had not.
Don't look up the director's life, but it's a good movie.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's good, but I wasn't expecting it to be a demon. Like, I thought it would have been better if it was just a man. Mm-hmm. It was a crazy human, mm-hmm. you know? Like, when they hit him and, like, the Batwing comes out, I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of, like, check out a little bit.
I loved it
but
at the time.
But it's still effective. Yeah. It works. It's crazy. That's just my own personal preference.
Yeah.
Understated scream queen Justin Long.
Yeah.
He does a lot of horror.
Right?
And he loves it.
Which, God bless him. Mm-hmm. I love that for him. Like, what was he? The Mac in the commercials? Like, that Mac versus
yes.
Yeah. PC. With John Hodgman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Robin?
Those were such ridiculous ads because they really made owning a Mac seem, like, awful. It's like, you want to be insufferable? Buy this product.
And they made it.
You want something that works well and reliably? Buy our opponent's product.
And they implied that it's easy, and I assure you, it is not.
Yeah.
And no. like they were all like, oh, it's so easy to use a Mac. I'm like, it really isn't.
No.
You have to learn a new definition of the word return.
I gave up on it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Delete means something different.
Yeah.
When Mac ate my portfolio like a week before graduation in college, I was like, fuck you.
Never again. No. I'm so sorry that happened. That's horrible.
Thanks.
What did I see? Okay.
You saw that Margot Robbie movie that no one in the world watched.
I did see A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, and I cried so much.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not good.
Oh, really?
It's terrible.
Hey, that's a Colin Farrell movie.
The premise of this movie is that two people meet at a wedding, and then they both have to rent cars that have a magical GPS that takes them to doorways to pivotal moments in their life for them to relive those moments together. And they can't change things, but they can act differently. They basically choose to be more sincere and more forthright.
My brain shut down halfway through that description.
It's a more optimistic Forces of Nature. Mm.
It is similar to Forces of Nature in a lot of ways. And I really thought, I was like, I love a big romance, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not, the romance doesn't work at all. They have no chemistry. And they, because they rightfully see this opportunity as a time for self-reflection.
Right.
And then it's, the movie will then periodically be like, and this is so that they can get together. And you're like, wait, what? No, this is two people doing the same thing at the same time. It should really just be one guy's life, I think, or one person's life.
Or maybe just not try to make a romance.
I mean, I don't know. I want there to be more romances. Yeah. I mean, I did still cry because she gets to relive her happiest memory with her mother again, right? Her dead mom, right? Like, of course I'm going to cry. Yeah. Also, enough with the umbrellas. Oh my God. And she has a terrible wig. Bad movie.
Why do we need to put Margot Robbie in a wig?
I don't know. Okay. What I did see that I thought was wonderful and exciting and I can't stop thinking about is Megadoc, which should be called Megadopolis.
Right.
But isn't. It is the documentary that Mike Figgis made while they were filming Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis, which was that disastrous movie that came out last year.
Right.
Fascinating movie. And I've never seen Hearts of Darkness, which, like, I feel like this movie is very aware of it existing in the shadow of Hearts of Darkness. Right. Mike Figgis says to the camera, he's like, all of the good documentaries about making a movie are about disasters. And he's like,
and here we are.
And he's like, so every time something goes wrong, I find myself going, great. And like, that's just fascinating. And then the other thing is Shia LaBeouf is in it, right? Because he was in the film. And Shia LaBeouf very clearly knows, oh, this is an opportunity for me to do some, you know,
damage control.
Correct. Right. He's like mid cancellation talking to this documentarian. And he keeps talking about how, like, he's like, I'm the most fireable. I can't believe I haven't been fired yet. Right. But then he's a horrible nightmare to work with. He's just so annoying and stupid and just awful. And it's like, oh, buddy, you clearly knew this was your chance. And even knowing, you couldn't control yourself. Oh,
you remember that thing where he, as a publicity stunt or something,
traveled around the world or the country?
Well, that sounds like him too. He rented out a movie theater and got a bunch of his fans and watched every one of his movies in a row.
Yeah.
And like, got, like, hired a photographer to take pictures of his face watching his own movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you need to know.
Yeah. That's weird.
And that's him.
there was a time where he was like hitchhiking across the country and like,
well, I'll never pick up a hitchhiker.
Something to do with like, it was Twitter and or Instagram or something. Like there was like a map or something. I don't know. He was like having people check in when they picked him up and it was weird.
I will say I found it so entertaining. I enjoyed it so much. I do think it maybe lacks a thesis. Like I've seen some people say that this movie is like, the thesis is like, craft people are true professionals and everybody else who works on a movie set is a problem for them to work around. So it might be that.
I'm very curious about it. I think I would just sit there getting angry about Megalopolis again. I think 10 minutes in, I'd be like, you had somebody talk to the screen in the theater.
they don't talk about that. So Adam Driver, unsurprisingly prickly about being filmed by a documentarian.
Certainly.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else?
Oh, I watched Eleanor the Great, the new June Squibb movie, which is ScarJo's directorial debut.
Yeah.
I didn't like the plot, which is that an old lady pretends to have survived the Holocaust so that she can make friends with a 19-year-old journalist.
Oh, come on.
They really make it the nicest way you could possibly lie about having survived the Holocaust, but it's still very hard.
It's icky.
It's hard to get past. It's a movie based on a core deception, and you spend the whole movie knowing the deception is going to be revealed, and it just gave me so much anxiety.
Oh, so you know going in that this is what it's about.
And I was thinking, I'm like, would it be better if we didn't? I would feel so betrayed. I would be so mad.
Is it good enough that I should bother? I mean, is it going to get nominated? Is June Squibb going to get a nomination?
This is why I would say bother for the two reasons that June Squibb is June Squibb and she's a delight. Mm-hmm. And also because someday ScarJo is going to make a good movie. Mm. And so it's kind of fun to watch the directorial debut of someone who you know at some point is going to make a good movie.
I don't know. Like, she never made a good album.
Get out of the studio! Break Up with Pete Yorm is like one of my all-time favorite albums.
It's
maybe I'll give that a try.
It's not one of my favorites, but it's not. Yeah, it's good. Like I still listen to.
I like her. Who doesn't like her? It's Scarlett Johansson.
You can't think I went to, when I went to David Letterman. She was the guest.
Playing music. Cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Very cool.
Break Up is a phenomenal album, and you should absolutely listen to it.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can say it's all Pete Yorm.
It's so John.
It's so good.
We're not here for that.
I'll give it a shot. We're here to draw another spooky movie. That's why we're here right now.
Hooray.
And that movie is What Lies Beneath.
That's so funny. I almost watched it last
night. Coming to the Criterion channel in October.
I know we're again locked into the early 2000s, but you know what? Let it ride.
Also, this is the first movie I ever saw at a drive-in.
How about that?
Yeah.
Funsies.
I don't think I've seen it.
Sean.
Yeah, I literally almost watched it last night.
Awesome.
But clicked on Shutter Island instead.
Oh. Valid. You hate Shutter Island? Save it for... Is Shutter Island a number one movie in America?
No.
It's not?
I hope not.
It is.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
I was going to say, I'm going to cut this. Never mind the natural. I'm going to cut this. I don't want to talk about it. No! Please, no.
We're going to do the natural. But before that, we're going to do What Lies Beneath. Speaking of memories from that time of my life that I can't get out of my head, I remember my high school girlfriend telling me that they had a bad bootleg DVD of What Lies Beneath, and they put the subtitles on, and that's how they discovered that bootleg DVDs have bootleg quality subtitles.
Girl says something. And
no one was saying anything, and the phrase, the blue strawberry, popped up at the bottom of the screen. The blue strawberry.
The blue strawberry.
Right. What? No one was speaking.
I had no idea about that either.
That's the one thing I know about What Lies Beneath. So I'm eager to find out more. And more female ghosts. Yay. That's the subject. Let's see if we can go 3 for 3 on female ghosts. Let's wrap it up by asking, what was the number one song in America? We might have had this, because we've been all around
2002.
This. 2002. Yeah, we've done a lot of 2002. No? But you're close.
Eminem? Eminem?
You were really close.
Oh, like so
Nelly?
It's...
So it's probably a Nelly? What is his stuff? What is... Or Ashanti? Hot in here?
I'm currently, my husband is listening to this screaming because he's from St. Louis.
That was Dan.
Oh, my God! Yep.
My spouse is not from St. Louis. We could not complete that trifecta.
And I think Dan said he played poker with Nelly once or something.
Amazing.
Like that.
I think Nelly is one of those celebrities who, like, everybody in Colin doesn't, but like everybody in St. Louis has their story for that one time that Nelly was at the party you know?
What is it?
The thing is, you definitely know
country,
this.
Country,
country living? Grammar. Country. That's too early.
You definitely know this song, but I never knew the
Dilemma?
Title. That's it.
Dilemma.
Featuring.
Ashanti?
No.
Kelly
Rowland.
Yeah, Colin the other day was like, what's that song that goes, da 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 da,
yeah. And you were like, I don't know that one. I don't know what it's called. I didn't even know Nelly was involved. I just know the hook.